Only there, and if you love me half as much as I love you, would you have a tattoo for me with my name on it? Because on the line now I have Aidan Kelly, he's a photographer, and we're going to talk about the Ink exhibition. Good afternoon, Aidan, how are you?
How are you now? Are you well?
Not too bad at all. Tell me about the Ink.
It was a very simple idea where myself and a friend of mine, Dominic Campbell, sat down. He organises a thing called Bieltina, which happens in May every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had this fascination with tattoos because I don't have a tattoo. There's not many people in my family have tattoos. So as a photographer, I always find things like that visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that maybe we would talk to, not younger people, to be honest, because a lot of tattoos are very fashionable with younger people, but like older people, why not speak to them about their tattoos?
Yeah. Because when I was reading up and I knew I was going to be talking to you, I mentioned it earlier on, I was just thinking to myself that wrongly, of course, probably only in the past 20 years or maybe less that this phenomenon has come about. Then I thought, thinking back, as I said, to the flower power thing, and probably in the 60s and 70s, they were probably quite prominent as well. So
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of older people would have them. So how prominent is it among older people?
It is quite prominent, you know, specifically through men, you know, in the sense of men who may have been a part of, say movements, you know, associations. Like, they might have been, were you a teddy boy when you were a lot younger? No.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't a mod or a rocker either, so there you go.
Usually, you know, those on the fringes, like myself or others would be associated with music, say, for instance. Or they might have been in the army, or they might have been in prison, or they've travelled on the ships, or, you know, you get tattoos, you know, associated with different things, or you might have a favourite football team, you know. So over the years, yes, definitely. Like, you have to understand that this was happening way back at the very, very start, where tattoo comes from. The word tattoo comes from tattoo, which is which was penned by James Cook. First time he ever went down to New Zealand. So you're talking about the Maoris, you're talking about Polynesia, and this is a very extensive thing in the sense that it's about rites of passage, or it's about being associated with. So I always found that these tattoos were a lot more interesting than the more fashionable end of things, because they said something.
I think as well, my first inkling, maybe back in the late 60s, when it was really prominent, because the perception of most people, as you mentioned yourself, is either sailors or people who've been in prison or in the army. But also, I remember Papillon, with the famous butterfly, the guy that was in the prison in France that time, and the great escape that he had from there. That sort of thing was there.
Yeah, I think that there is a kind of... you know, you're on the fringe, you know, you're not a part of main culture as such, or you're not like, it's like a normal thing. So in that sense, an awful lot of tattoos wouldn't have gone beyond, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I have, and only finding out, is that tattoos would never go beyond the cuff of a shirt, or the collar, or the cuff of a shirt, so that they wouldn't show... So that would not stop you from getting work, for instance.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to ask you about, because I imagine talking to the people that most of them were hidden, and that you're explaining that now, that the only time you would see them is if you were married to someone or something like that, that it wasn't overtly shown.
It was almost like a secret thing for yourself, you know, and particularly I'm beginning to find that out, that maybe amongst women that it's very secret, you know, it's almost like a very personal thing. If you, like, look at what you're doing, you know, it's a huge step, you're marking your body. So if you're saying something like that, it's permanent, you know, obviously you can get stuff removed, but it'll never be the same. Definitely it's a thing where you kind of want to... You want to say something. It means a great deal to you, you know. So I think that's a big step, you know.
And what sort of the people you were talking to, did they have regrets about getting them, or were they proud of them? How do they feel?
Anybody I've ever spoken to seems to be happy enough, you know. Like Emil Mulcahy from County Cavan, Virginia, County Cavan, and he just received a tattoo. You know, some people at the age of 50 or or a big year in their life would decide, okay, well, I'm going to do something I've never done before, and some people go on world cruises. And
so, in other words, it was on the bucket list, was it?
It almost is. Most of, that's such a great way of saying it. You're right. It is. It's like the thing I do before, I don't know, I change, you know, into whatever, and the next part of their lives, you know. Kathleen Hogg, she's from Clonmel. She got a little spider on her wrist, and that happened when she was 50. So it's like, some people don't have tattoos all their lives. Some people decide to get tattoos. So it's still, I suppose, that's down to popular culture too. People mm-hmm. see that happening, or their daughters or their sons have tattoos, so they decide to go get one themselves. Mm.
And were they, for instance, did you get any sort of sense of feeling that maybe some of them are saying, oh, you said like most of them are happy with them, but did some of them get, say, well, if I had the time again, I wouldn't, and maybe they would deter their own children from getting them? And especially the way it's more overt now, like it's shown everywhere, it's on the spine, and or it's on the neck, and it's on the wrist, and some of them even on the side of the neck. So did he have any opinions on that, today's phenomenon?
I think the people I've spoken to, they seemed open-minded. And to a certain extent, I think that should be the way it is. But mm-hmm. definitely think twice. You know, don't mm-hmm. get drunk and then get a tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's definitely, it's more acceptable than it's ever been now. So I think it's natural for people to go, oh, yeah, that sounds okay. That's like, it's almost like buying a new car. Mm-hmm. But for me, the earlier tattoos and the stories that come from these is more important than sometimes the tattoos themselves. But definitely, I think people mm-hmm. accept it more. So, but at the same time, yeah, choose your tattoo well.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about when people get it young, I think they forget that they are going to get older and the skin changes and stuff like that. And I wonder how they feel about that. And as you said yourself, there's lots of stories attached to them, really. It's the story of how it came about, whether it's through a drunken bravado or whether it's just for the love of somebody or whatever it may be.
I like the idea that these particular people that we've photographed and spoken to and interviewed, I tried to find out why, obviously, the tattoo exists. Mm-hmm. And that the stories are a lot more interesting than just a fashionable band around the arm or something that is, yeah, it's decorative. The Poison King, case in point is that Paddy Byrne would be the eldest of our troupe of tattooed men, and he's 89 now.
Wow.
He would have been on the Merchant Navy ships way back, you know, his whole thing was, he was on the ships, you know, and he was in the army, and it, for him, or the Merchant Navy, should I say. So for him, it was, if you were in an organization like that, you just had to get a tattoo, and it was a mark, just like maybe Sergeant Stripes or you know, a medal. So for me, that's way more interesting of a story to find out where he travelled and you know what he's doing now with his life and how he gets from A to B, you know, and that's way more important, I think. The story, as you say, the stories are that connect. Yeah. Everybody together is so much more.
And I suppose, like, as well, with events in people's lives, whether it's something happening or whether it's a piece of music, when they hear it, it immediately conjures up that particular time in their lives. And I suppose every time they look at the tattoo, or if someone asks them about the tattoo, immediately everything resonates in the story and the life and how it came about. So there's a story, as you say, attached to them all.
It's very important to their lives. Again, I'll go back to what I said. It's a marking on your body, and to do that, it's a very big step. And especially back then, when tattoos weren't the norm as such, you know. And that's for me, that's very important to try to photograph that. It's an interesting project to photograph. It's also something that fascinates me personally because I don't think I'll ever get a tattoo, especially now.
I was just going to ask you that. Did it change your mind?
No, it changed my mind to be to in the sense that I never want to get a tattoo.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I never really thought about it, but definitely now I've seen, like, I just met Adrian Doyle. Adrian Doyle's 6 foot something, big strapping man down in Clonmel, and his body is completely covered in tattoos of serial killers.
Wow.
Faces of serial killers. So his story is very fascinating in the sense that he's been reading about these guys all his life. It's a very strange preoccupation, I think, but he definitely went the whole way, and you know, he more or less his whole body's covered, almost like Japanese Yakuza style.
I remember seeing a movie in the 70s with the Rod Steiger called The Illustrated Man, and that was about a guy that top to toe he was completely tattooed as well. But that sounds, the tattoos he has, that sounds rather eccentric, if you don't mind me saying.
Very much so. So he definitely made me think, right, no, I'm not getting a tattoo.
But okay. Well, can I ask you some of them, especially the women that, as you said earlier, when it was in vogue for people many, many years ago, they're more overt now, but they were inclined to be hidden. And you had to take photographs. So how did you get around that aspect of it, like of people saying, well, okay, I'm going to more or less bare my soul and maybe in different parts of intimate parts of the body maybe that they normally wouldn't show? Any problem with the photographs there?
Not really. It's a conversation that you start with a contact with somebody. Organically, a friend of a friend might contact somebody. That's the way it works. We know we've had one or two people contact us through, say, Inc's part of the website, through Bieltina.com.
Mm-hmm.
And people would get in touch and say, well, listen, my mother's got a tattoo and she'd be very interested in speaking to you. And you go and you go travel to the person where they live and you sit and you meet. Now that can be strange, but definitely it is just about a conversation where I sit down and I go, is the tea on? You know, so let's put tea on first, and then we'll have a chat, and I'll tell you, I'll try to explain what I'm trying to do. And once they find out that you mean very well, it's about the idea and the stories as such, not necessarily about the tattoo.
That's a culture.
And the culture, definitely, about why it's still very cool to get tattoos or to have tattoos at a certain age. Why not let people see your history?
Okay, well, we're at both ends of the age spectrum, and I can tell you, I won't get one either. It's not on my bucket list, I can tell you that. You know, but you're a young man, you might change your mind later on.
I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest.
Okay, well, tell us where people can see and find out all about this now. You're connected to the Access Arts Centre in Ballymun.
Yeah, that's happening at the very start of May for a couple of weeks. All the details are on Bieltina.com, which is, Bieltina is the Irish for May, if anyone who's listening doesn't know yet. It's a yearly month-long exhibition event, festival that Dominic Campbell and his crew set up for Age and Opportunity. So Inc has its own little space on that website if you want to go. So just search for Inc. Aidan Kelly is my name.
Okay.
And you'll find it there, and all the details are there. And I'm looking for people. If you know somebody out there, specifically a lady I'm looking for at the moment, who's of a certain vintage, who would have a really great story and a great tattoo and is willing to sit and talk to me and get a tea, obviously.
Okay.
And maybe get some photographs taken. I'd love to hear from them.
That sounds great, yeah. So they get in touch with you. Did you look up the Bieltina to get in touch with you as well?
Yeah, go through Bieltina. That's good. Bieltina.com, Bieltina.com.
And this will be all happening in May. And when the exhibition is on, will it be a drop-in type of event, or do you have to book, or what's the story?
Most definitely, you can come in any time. There is a day where I think it's on the 2nd, I think, and I hold a little kind of, it's almost like a pop-up studio where I'd have a little setup of lights and a recording facility, and like, if somebody wants to come along and get their photograph taken, who's of that certain age, who has this great story, I would love to sit and talk to them. And then you could contact the Access about that timing and when that's happening.
Okay, and then you mentioned there about going to people as well. Now, people can get in touch with you if they have tattoos, as you said there, especially you women, and a nice cup of tea. So you will travel yourself?
I've been down to Clonmel, and it looks like I'm going to Cork very soon because I have a friend who I worked with on a movie that I did films for, because I do other kinds of work as well. And his mother, her name is Violet, she lives in I think it's Skull, County Cork, so I'm going to have to travel all the way down there to go and see and meet her, which gives me that lovely location, and obviously the history of where they come from too comes into play, instead of maybe them coming to Dublin as such, you know, and although that's not a bad idea either.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, Aidan, I'm going to ask you maybe to come on a week before the exhibition just to see what sort of things that you've picked up, if you don't mind.
No problem. I'd like to come on again.
And then I'm definitely going to go over and have a look, and because it sounds really, really interesting, and it's very innovative, and it's something new. And the more you think about it, the more fascinating it sounds.
Definitely, because it's all about people, isn't it? No, anything that we do is all about people. It's all about stories.
Okay, well, give us the details again. People interested in taking part in it or want to know more about it. It's Beeltina.com, is that it?
Go to Beeltina.com and search for Ink. That's the name of the exhibition. And it'll be under my name as well, Aidan Kelly. And the guys there will have an email address there if you want to email them. Or the phone number too is a hotline, as far as I know. And get in touch with them through. And that usually is the best way to get through to me on that.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to talking to you then in a few weeks' time, and I'm sure that you're going to have some nice stories to tell. So I'm looking forward to that, Aidan.
Great to talk to you, Noel.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Stay where you are. And that's Aidan Kelly, photographer, and that exhibition coming up in May. But just look at Beoltina.com and then get Ink, and then look for Aidan Kelly, and you get all the information. If you have anyone out there that has tattoos, maybe an old aunt or whatever, and you want to get involved in that. But it sounds absolutely fascinating, and I'm looking forward to having Aidan on again.